Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And we are wrapping up this week with my conversation with a good friend, Keith Walker from Evidence Ministries. That's evidenceministries.org if you want to check out their website. Keith was up here for the Mormon Miracle Pageant and taught a class to a group of Christian volunteers on how to use a witnessing technique that has come to be known as the Impossible Gospel method. But what was unique about the presentation is that Keith was sticking primarily with church manuals as the source for the quotations that he was citing. And as we've explained, if you've listened to the past few broadcasts, quoting from church manuals carries much more weight than if you were to cite the same quotation from, let's say, a book written by that same person. Because if it's in a church manual, that means it has been vetted. That means that the leadership is approving this statement, and this is something that the Mormon membership should believe and should follow. So we're wrapping up our talk about this, going through some of the slides that Keith presented to the Christians, and we're going to just talk about this some more, going back to Harold B. Lee, because you have found that the manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Harold B. Lee, is a good source to go to for some of these really choice quotations that shows the impossibility of achieving what we would say is the Mormon forgiveness.
Well, actually, even before we go to that manual, I want to mention something out of Gospel Fundamentals. The linchpin to the Impossible Gospel approach is you can start with Moroni 10:32 or Alma 11:37 or 2 Nephi 25:23, but you've got to kind of hold it down in another place, and that comes with 1 Nephi 3:7. 1 Nephi 3:7 is a scripture mastery verse, so Mormons should have this memorized, and if they don't, then they're not doing all that they can do.
Oops.
But yeah, so they've got to have this, they're at least familiar with it, even if they don't have it memorized. And basically what it says is that God isn't going to give them a commandment that they can't keep. And Mormons will know the story about Nephi going and trying to get some brass plates from Laban, and God gives him this commandment, and Nephi says, I'm going to go do this because I'm able to do this because God's not going to give me a commandment I can't keep. Well, here's what chapter 14 of Gospel Fundamentals says. It says, each of us can repent. Then it's got listed 1 Nephi 3:7. Our Father in heaven never asks us to do things that are impossible for us to do. Mm. Never asks us to do something that's impossible. So when I ask Mormons, you're told to keep the commandments. Can you keep the commandments? Well, yes, I can. How do you know this? 1 Nephi 3:7. God isn't going to give me a commandment I can't keep. Next question, how are you doing with that? How's that working out for you? Well, I'm getting better. I'm better today than I was yesterday. Well, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that it says I've got to keep the commandments. It doesn't say start keeping or just strive to keep. I've got to keep the commandments. Now, getting back to Harold B. Lee, he states in chapter 21, Striving for Perfection, interesting title. He says, I am convinced that the master was not merely thinking relatively when he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5:48. He asks this question. Would you suppose the Savior was suggesting a goal that was not possible of attainment and thus mock us in our efforts to live and attain that perfectness? If you only read that part, Bill, what would your answer be?
Well, I of course he's not going to accuse the Lord of mocking.
Right.
But he goes on.
But the quote goes on to say, it is impossible for us here in mortality to come to that state of perfection of which the master spoke. So I've got to stop right there. There's more of the quote that I want to read, but I've got to stop right there. So is Jesus mocking us or not? Is Jesus telling me that I'm going to give you a commandment that you can't keep, or that I'm going to give you a commandment that I know you can keep, but yet you can't keep it? So which is it?
And Harold B. Lee seems to understand that.
Well, I don't know. It's confusing to me.
Well, it is confusing. And again, it's this mixed message that we hear so often when we're reading these manuals and statements from LDS leaders.
Well, and that mixed message is, do I have to attain perfection in this life? And of course, the Book of Mormon in Alma chapter 34, I like to read verses 32 through 36. Because it says in verses 32 through 34, five times, this life, this life, this life, this life, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God.
And Mormons do believe that this life is what they call the mortal probation.
Exactly.
This is where you're supposed to prove yourselves. And this is why Mormons place so much effort in doing the best they can so that they will be found worthy come judgment.
Right.
It's a mortal probation. They're supposed to do it now. This is a very important time in your progression, Spencer Kimball said. A most important time. If you blow it here, you've blown it for eternity. But yet, you've found, and I have found, that some Mormons seem to think that they can do something later on. They can make up for lost time in the hereafter, which to me seems to undermine the whole concept of the mortal probation.
Exactly. And that's kind of what the rest of this quote says. It says, it's impossible for us here in mortality to come to that state of perfection of which the Master spoke. But in this life, we lay the foundation on which we build in eternity. Therefore, we must make sure that our foundation is laid on truth, righteousness, and faith. In order for us to reach that goal, we must keep God's commandments and be true to the end of our lives here. Bill, if I'm keeping God's commandments,
yeah,
and my righteousness is contingent upon my effort, and I am keeping those commandments, then how is it impossible for me to reach the state of perfection in this life if I'm keeping the commandments?
Sounds like you've done it.
That's right.
So he just said you couldn't, but then he says you can. Well, he says you can't, then he says you should, and you can. It's confusing.
It's very confusing. Yeah. And one of the things, in fact, when I was doing research on this whole approach, I did come across some manuals that, like this, say that, yes, you can repent in the afterlife. And when I came across that, I thought, okay, how am I going to handle this? Because the Book of Mormon says something totally different. And then I thought, well, duh. The Book of Mormon, according to Mormon, is the most correct book on earth. So if this book is the most correct book on earth, then why am I listening to the interpretations of a man outside of that book, which is more true?
Yeah, that's the dilemma. I mean, when you read the Book of Mormon, it does not give the impression at all that you have any ability to make up for lost time in the next life. When he says at the end of that paragraph, and then beyond the grave, continue in righteousness and knowledge until we become as our Father in heaven, you should have all that taken care of before you get there.
Exactly.
That's always been the stress that has been placed on the efforts of the individual Latter-day Saint. You need to do it now. When we listen to General Conference, what is the theme? Do your best and do better. Why? You need to attain this. You need to prove yourself worthy. You need to keep the commandments. If I was a Latter-day Saint and I took my faith seriously and was reading these manuals and listening to my leaders, reading my scriptures, I'm not getting a consistent message. And how some Latter-day Saints can say, and I've had them say, well, it all makes sense to me.
Well, it makes sense to them because they're believing two opposite things at the same time. And to demonstrate that, when you do talk with Mormons who will insist that they can repent in the afterlife, they usually quickly add after saying that, but it's going to be harder.
But why would it be harder, and how could you even do it? Because Kimball said, for instance, a prisoner can't repent in prison because he doesn't have the same temptations to do whatever got him in prison in the first place. Is their right. next life going to be just like this world, filled with temptations? Is it going to be like that?
That's not paradise for me.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
No.
So what is it that's going to be tempting them that they're going to need to overcome? Because that's what true repentance involves.
That's a good point. Get the Mormon to think about this, though. It's impossible to do it now, and it's harder to do it later,
harder.
And I'm looking forward to the time to do it when it's harder.
Yeah, if it's harder and you can't do it now and it's harder in the next life, then obviously if it's impossible here, it's impossible there.
Right.
But the problem is words have meaning to you.
Yes.
And this is why we struggle with this stuff, because it makes no sense. Because why? It's not born of God. These are not teachings that are born of God. If it was born of God, it would make sense. It would harmonize.
It would have to.
And it doesn't seem to, that's for sure.
Well, there's a, I don't have this quote in front of me, but there is a conference report where I believe it was Rector Hartman.
Hartman Rector,
who said that, and he quotes Brigham Young, and I'd love to find the original Brigham Young quote. I've never been able to locate this. But he states that Brigham Young said it was 100 times harder to repent in the spirit world than it would be in this world. So I'm thinking, why am I taking comfort in doing something 100 times harder than impossible? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, maybe some of our Latter-day Saint listeners can offer the explanation to that. And if they would like to, then write me. I would love to hear what your explanation might be. You can write us at contact@mrm.org. But maybe you're a Latter-day Saint who's been going, you know what? That's been bothering me all along. I can't figure that out either. And these two guys seem to sit here and just quote these certain leaders, and it seems to make perfect sense that it makes no sense.
Right.
And if you're that Latter-day Saint, can I just encourage you to really do some serious evaluation and ask yourself, if you're not doing what your leadership is telling you to do now, what makes you think you're going to get that cherished reward you're looking for in the next life when they've said over and over again that you have these certain requirements that you must meet? And we go back to the definition of mortal probation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to say that it's really not a mortal probation because one leader happens to realize, this is a little bit tough. Maybe we need a little bit more time. Kind of like the man in Jesus's parable who had the huge debt. What did he say? Give me more time. It didn't matter how much time you had.
Right.
He was never going to pay off the debt. That was the point of the story. And yet what are Mormons doing? Well, if I can't do it now, give me a little more time. I'll eventually do it.
But interestingly enough, Mormons hate the idea of a deathbed repentance.
They do.
The spirit world is the ultimate deathbed repentance.
And yet, they're all procrastinating their repentance as well.
Right.
If they're not prepared in this mortality, then that means they've procrastinated their repentance. And according to the Book of Mormon, if they do that, the devil has sealed them his, and that is the final state of the wicked. Keith, thanks for being with me this week.
Thanks
it's
for
been
having
incredible.
Me.
Thanks
it's been
a
great.
Lot.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.